Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Well, thank you, worship team. Thank you, kids in the skit. Thank you, RJ, for being Jesus in that skit. I do miss the hair, though. If I got to put in a request, the long hair would be wonderful. But anyways, just a side note there. But I, you know what? I love Easter. I love Easter. I love what it means. But I can tell you, if I'm being honest as a pastor, I feel like I deal with a lot of expectations on Easter. You know, is he going to be traditional? Is he going to do this? And I don't know what I'm going to do. I still haven't figured it out. I've got a script, but we'll see what God has for us today. But I do love this because we're celebrating. We're giving thanks. We're drawing attention to the only one that deserves our attention. And this is the most important thing we can do, because without a doubt, Jesus changed history. He changed it. And there's no denying that. And what's interesting to me is, even if you look at secular historians that recorded things from that time, they record that this happened. They record that a man named Jesus was alive, a man named Jesus was crucified, and a man named Jesus was seen after 3 days. And so it's something that is really the linchpin, right, of our faith, if you think about it. Because even in the scriptures, it says without the resurrection, everything else is meaningless. But we can hold true to this resurrection because he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so what I want to do to start off my time is read from 1 Corinthians 15. Because these verses recorded by Paul some years after Jesus had gone back to heaven. But this is oftentimes when people say, what's the synopsis? What's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 is where we start. 1 Corinthians 15, and all I'm going to do is I'm going to read these first eight verses to you, and then I'm going to launch from there. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I have received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living," when Paul wrote this, "though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born." That is, remember, Saul, Paul. That's what we've been talking about in the book of Acts. And so this is the heartbeat. The resurrection is the heartbeat, and these scriptures point to that. And so what I wanted to do today is kind of launch a new series. The new series is titled, I Am, not I Am, but Jesus Is. I Am, the statements that Jesus made as recorded in the Gospel of John. And he made statements that we won't talk about but are just as important. I am the way, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He made a statement. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the entrance into eternal life. He said, I am the bread of life. Next week, we're going to talk about I am the good shepherd. The week after that, we'll talk about I am the light of the world. And lastly, we'll talk about I am the vine, which was made by a statement made by Jesus in John chapter 15, just a few short hours before he would go to the cross. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk about the resurrection and Jesus' statement that he made. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this is found in John chapter 11 as Dale read earlier, but it says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And goes on here and says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is from John chapter 11. I love it because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Keep in mind, if you're following, this is in John 11. It happens before he's resurrected. He resurrects. And it's in a different account. It's an account of what we will know as Lazarus. Remember, if Lazarus was one who died and was risen by Jesus. And in this interaction with the people of that time, with that family, Jesus makes this incredible statement where he says, I am the resurrection. Not I will be resurrected or I'm going to be resurrected. I am the resurrected. Resurrection. And if we could agree on this definition, I think we could. It's in Oxford Dictionary, so maybe we can still trust that. I don't know, these days it's hard to tell. But I believe it is true. Resurrection definition, this is what I'm going with, an action or fact of being restoring a dead person to life. So when I preach, I like to give stories that I took part in or part in my life, true stories, to the best of my understanding. But this is a hard one. How many of you have ever witnessed the resurrection? I mean, probably none of us per se, not that we know. But one story that I want to share with you, and this is just a little anecdotal, but if you know Grace Community Church during the springtime, we sort of have a love-hate relationship with barn swallows. They're the birds that are out there. I'm telling you what, they're the bane of my existence sometimes, all the poop that comes down and all these things. And over the years, we've tried a number of things to get them not to put nests right outside our door. We've lost every single time. I'm confident, though, this year, Ron Netty came up with a solution. So we're banking on you, Ron. We've got pieces of wood up there that are maybe going to dissuade them. At the work day, I was talking to Ben, and he was talking about how they're territorial. They remember. They go back to have babies where they were born. And so it's like this thing that's written in their DNA. So I don't know if I'm messing with nature. But anyways, that's not part of the story. So what I do remember is we've got beautiful glass windows out there. And on more than one occasion during the season, the spring season, I have heard loud thumps and going, what in the world? It sounds like something flew into the window. And I go out there and I see a bird that's sort of flapping around a little bit and usually eventually gets up and goes. And so after this happens a number of times, you just kind of ignore it. Well, there was one time, it's been a few years ago now, shortly after I started as a pastor, and I heard one of those thumps. And I'm like, I know what that is. I'm not going out there. I walk out and I'm going to go into church because our offices are next door. And I see a bird that's laying there. And I'm like, great. This is the one time the bird died. At least that's what it looked like. If you know me, I don't like dealing with dead animals. Like, if that happens, there's a roadkill in front of our house or something like that. Everyone comes to me, but I'm acting tough. So kids, now you know that I don't like dealing with dead animals. But anyway, so I just kind of ignored it. I thought, well, maybe it'll go away. So I come out and I go into the church. I come back out. It's still laying there. And I don't remember how long this was, to be fair, but I came out the second time from the church to go back in. It's like, all right, I got to deal with this. And what do I see but a bird that looked like the same one to me, I'm going to preface that, had gotten up and started to fly away. And so you're like, Pastor, that's not a really good story. It's the best I got for a resurrection story. Now, I'm not sure that that bird actually died. What I do know is it hit the window very hard. And if you've ever had a concussion, you know that it's serious. You're not right. And so maybe it was 2 minutes, maybe it was five. That's not what's important. What I really want to tell you today, though, is a story that I'm 100% confident in. I'm confident in these words from John chapter 11, 25, because I know the one who said them. I want to share this story that Jesus is in the midst of this incredibly horrific story that's happening because somebody had died. And he's there and interacting with the family and said, I am the resurrection and the life. We're going to look at this account in John chapter 11, so you can turn there. That's where we'll be for most of the rest of the time. I'm going to walk through that story with you, but I am also going to kind of dial in on three individuals that are caught up in the midst of this account, this story, that are kind of at a dead end. And what I mean by a dead end is they're frustrated, they're discouraged, they're tired of the delays. They're tired of the things of life that are going on, and they're in the midst of a struggle. And if I had to go on a limb, I would guess that there may be people in this room that can relate to this. Yes, we come. Yes, we celebrate the resurrected King. But man, like that video that started the service off, there's things in your life that are a struggle. So what I want to do is take that time and see that these dead ends are not really dead ends in Jesus. And that Jesus is not just the resurrection. Yes, the resurrection that gives us eternal life. But like that video showed us, that it doesn't end at the empty tomb. See, Jesus continues to go with us today. So today, just turn to John chapter 11. I'm going to start reading here, and we'll stop and comment like I do. But we're going to read the first three verses starting out. So now, a man named Lazarus, verse 1, was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Let me pause there for a minute. We see really quickly in that first three verses that this was a close relationship. This wasn't just somebody that Jesus met once. This was a family that had a connection to him, had a deep and personal connection. And in their moment of struggle, in their moment where their brother was extremely sick, they called out and said, "Send word for Jesus to come." Now, I know that today is generally a happy day, right? We're all excited to be here. But I do, like I mentioned a minute ago, some of you are probably dealing with incredibly difficult things, and you could relate to that cry from those sisters. "Jesus, come help me in this moment." It may actually be sickness. It may not. It may be a relationship. It may be marriage. It may be a son or daughter that's kind of gone away, that hasn't come back, and you keep praying for those moments when they would come back to knowing you, Jesus, and those dire straits. Maybe you, I don't know, you have kids in school, and all of our kids are not perfect, right? They have problems. They make mistakes. Maybe it's a phone call from a principal this week. And by the way, for you homeschoolers, these phone calls still happen. Sometimes it's from the superintendent to the principal. But at any rate, they might get that call and say, "Your son or daughter did this." And you're like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" But as you get in those situations, a key point to pull from here is that Mary and Martha went to the source of the person that could help them in this situation. So they make a call. They send a lifeline. They call for Jesus. Verse 4, when Jesus had heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, and God's Son may be glorified through it." Let me pause there. In this moment, Jesus is all-knowing, right? We can agree with that. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus is already knowing that, listen, this isn't going to end in death at this point. There's something that needs to happen through this situation that is going to bring God glory, that is going to bring him glory. And sometimes I think that, and by the way, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody, that when I go to the Lord and I want him to get me out of a situation, I just want him to get me out of it, right? I don't want to learn anything. I don't want to take any pain. I just want him to get me out of it. Who can relate? I mean, honestly, that's what we want. And it's okay if that's how we pray, because God says, you know, cast your burdens on me, call out my name, pray the concerns of your heart, because God already knows them. It's okay to pray for that. But I love how Jesus enters into this and says, it's not going to end in death. No, it is for God's glory, that the Son may be glorified through it. What appears like a dead end, how is it going to continue? What I want to encourage you with today is, whatever you're carrying, whatever dead end you feel like you're at the end of, know that God is not hiding from you. God is there with you. And we know, and we can hold confidently to Romans 8:28, where Paul says, God's working all things out for the good of those who love him in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't say you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That doesn't say that everything's going to be perfect, but it says in him, he is working all things out for the good of those that love him. And so in verses 5 and carrying on through verse 15, we see some encountering here that goes on. We see that Jesus waits for 2 days. Isn't that interesting? He knows what's happening. Just a little side note, because Lazarus was so sick, and how we find out later, he was dead for 4 days by the time Jesus got there. The likelihood is by the time Jesus heard the message, Lazarus had probably already passed. But he waits for 2 days and then goes, "Okay, let's go." And so when he does that, the disciples say, "Let's go too," right? No, they go, "Wait a second. You just came from there and they tried to kill you. Why would you want to go back?" And so then Jesus has this delicate conversation with the disciples like only he can, where he says, Lazarus is asleep and I'm going to go wake him up. And the disciples say, great, he's going to get better. And then Jesus says, no, he's actually dead. And you got to love the disciples here as they're going back and forth. And so as that happens and they begin to go, in verse 16, we meet our first person of interest, and it is Thomas. And in verse 16, we'll read that verse. And this is what it says. It said, then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, at first glance, this sounds like Thomas is really confident, right? I don't think he's super confident. In fact, I'm wondering if he's doubting here. I mean, we know from Thomas's life and later on, he's the one that's called what? Doubting Thomas. And he does seem confident, but behind the scenes, the doubts are there. And let me tell you, it's only natural to be doubting sometimes. I'm here today to tell you this, that just like Thomas, who may appear confident, I believe he is dead in his doubts. In that same way, we struggle with doubting today, don't we? I don't know if any of you, ever dealt with spiritual doubts before? You can raise your hand if you, okay, and the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, either you were thinking about it or you're not telling me the truth. We all struggle with doubt. Some of us are more confident than others. Some of us portray to be more confident than others. But I think in the deep recesses of our mind, when we go through tough things, it's natural. The human flesh cries out, why? But I want to tell you this, that I don't believe doubts are a sign of weakness. I think they're a sign of humanness. Now, if we dwell on those doubts and we allow those doubts and that worry to overcome us and to drive us and direct us away from God, then that can be sinful. But I don't think the act of having a doubt is necessarily a weakness. It's just humanness. You know, we've all had those moments, I think, when we've prayed for something. We've prayed and we've prayed. I agree, Nora. And prayed, right? And what happens? Well, sometimes nothing. Or what appears like nothing. You've prayed for healing. And healing hasn't happened. You've prayed for, you know, a financial restitution to happen, but it never happens, or it doesn't happen in your timing. And I don't know what you may be struggling with a doubt today, but what I want you to come back to in this story is doubt is not the end of the story. So Jesus, then they continue on in this story, in this account, and they arrive back where Lazarus is. And we find out that, in fact, Lazarus is dead. In fact, many are there to mourn him, to support him. You know, it had been 4 days since he's been in the tomb. And so this is kind of an interesting tidbit here too. There was this belief in those days, at least, that sometimes while the body was first dead, within those first 3 days, the spirit sort of hung with them. And I'm not saying this is what I believe, but this is what was believed during that day. And then after that point, the spirit had left. So when they said 4 days, that was critical. That was a confident statement that he's not just dead, he's dead. And it's over. But Jesus arrives, and these many people are there to mourn with the family, to support them. This would have been, it appears from all accounts, that this was a very loved family, well connected. In the midst of this, we run into the second person that had sort of a dead end. And in verse 20, we read this. When Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But let's move on to Mary. Mary stayed at home. Can you relate to Mary? In a situation where you're in the midst of a struggle and someone comes, all in mind in this story, remember, this was Jesus. They had called out to Jesus to come while Lazarus was still alive and he didn't make it. And so Mary, I think, is caught up and she is dead in her discouragement. We can understand why she would be discouraged. She lost a family member. This was an incredibly horrific experience, and this was something that, you know, most all of us have been through, and it is just plain old not fun. It doesn't matter if you know if the person loved Jesus or not. It's one of the hardest things to go through. Be discouraged is completely normal. Maybe today some of you are dealing with discouragement. Maybe it's called something else. Maybe you're dealing with depression or anxiety or just discouragement of what is not happening. Life is just not so much fun anymore. Maybe you're even depressed. Maybe you feel like you're just a failure in a lot of areas of your life because things sort of seem to be falling apart. Or maybe you just feel stuck. You just feel stuck where you're at. And I think we can relate to Mary here, who's dead in her discouragement. Well, the final person I want to talk about before I loop back around is then in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I think Mary, or Martha here, excuse me, is dealing with delay. Remember, they had called out for Jesus to come, and she says it, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. Now, this shows us a couple of things about them. They're very confident in what Jesus was capable of, right? So they had placed confidence in him, but they were still, and she was incredibly discouraged with the delay. I mentioned this once already, but who can relate to having prayed for a long time and not seeing what you're asking God to do to come through? I know I can. You know, now sometimes when I look at the other end and I look back, I go, I see what God was doing. But in the moment, I didn't get it. I was frustrated. And I was, at times, if I'm honest, just angry with God for the delays that I see. But as I grow as a follower of Jesus and I read his word confidently, I know this: God's delays are not always God's denials. God's delays are not his denials. We don't know what he's in the midst of doing. We know that, again, Romans 8:28, we know that he's working all things out for the good that love him in Christ Jesus. The good of them, not necessarily what we would think is good, but what God is seeing is good. So we can hold confidently to that, but sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's frustrating. And Jesus enters this conversation with her. And Jesus says this. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered him, I know he will rise again. And he goes on to tell her, I am the resurrection and the life. See, God's delays are not God's denials. Even now, I believe, whatever struggle you're dealing with, whatever's on your heart at this moment, even now, I believe the person who said he is the resurrection and the life can turn those dead ends into life again, can turn those relationships that are struggling into relationships that are successful, can turn loneliness into comfort, can turn confusion into peace, can turn mistakes that you've made, mistakes that I made, into a life that matters, can turn a cold, jaded heart to a heart that is soft for the Lord Jesus to work with. Yes, Jesus can turn dead even into life. That is the hope that I bring with me today. Even now, Jesus is working. You know, one of my favorite phrases from the Bible is but, B-U-T. I know I get a hard time from this from Elena every time I say it. Pastor's talking about buts again. But whenever you read in Scripture, something happens and then but Jesus. Or even now, in the moment, whatever's happening in your life, whatever struggle is happening in your life, this statement is still true today. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Can you get excited about that? Can you say, this is what turns the bad into the good? This is what takes discomfort or discouragement and turns it into encouragement? See, it doesn't mean our life is going to be easy. It doesn't mean that. But it means that we can have a confidence in a God that is working all things out for the good of those that love Christ Jesus. And as we saw here, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then I love Jesus. He says, do you believe? A few verses earlier, she said, I know that you could raise him. He's going to raise him the next day. And Jesus said, no. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? And that's the question. And we don't catch the answer here, but we see that what happens next is an incredible reminder of what Jesus is capable of. See, in the midst of these dead ends that are in our life, Jesus is the resurrection. Who came here today needing a resurrection from some dead end in your life? I believe there's some that needed to hear this message. Well, Jesus continues on and he tells them, okay, move this stone. And if you read this account in the King James, I love it because it said they rolled the stone and they said it stinketh. Good word. Stinks really bad. I mean, don't want to get too graphic, but dead bodies decaying. It stinks really bad. And Jesus says, move that stone away. And then in verse 43, further down, when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Then the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him out. See, Lazarus couldn't come out on his own. Lazarus couldn't move that stone. Someone else, Jesus had to tell him, move that stone. And then that wasn't even enough. Lazarus was dead. And Jesus said, come out of here. Get up. In the same way, I think in our lives, we're dealing with dead ends in our lives where we feel like we're at the end of ourselves. And here's a news flash. I think sometimes that's why we go through these things. Because see, when we come to the end of ourselves and we realize we can't do it, we need God, we need Jesus to roll that stone away and call us out of there. That's when God's work begins to happen. I think there's dead ends in here. I've said this already. And Jesus needs to move that stone, but maybe he's waiting for you to ask him, do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe it? Because if you call out his name, he is faithful. He will answer. Now, again, I'm telling you, it's not like this isn't like a magic eight ball where you get everything you want or the gumball machine. You got to trust God in this process. But I believe that some of us are here today struggling with something that we have not yet called out to God. Sometimes we get caught up in this and we're like, okay, well, I'm going to pray because it's the last thing I'm going to do. And that's just not it at all. A relationship with Jesus should be the first thing. When something's going wrong, when something's going awry, call out to him. Go to the Creator. Place your trust in him. Today, there may be dead ends that Jesus wants to move that stone away and call you out of that dead end because he's still the resurrection and the life. It's the same Jesus, the same power, and the dead end stone can be moved and you can be called out today and receive that resurrection and life. And I hope to celebrate today this Easter that's more than almost 2,000 years happened to go at the beginning. Jesus is still resurrecting dead ends. Jesus is still changing lives to be following him. Jesus is still healing. Jesus is still working, and he is the one we can call on no matter what is in our life. And so I want to remind you again, even now, call out to him. Question I want to ask you again is, do you believe? Well, I'm going to wrap up here kind of where I started, chapter 11, verse 25 first, and just remind you this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Do you believe that today? And finally, I just want to read those four verses from 1 Corinthians again to you. These are great ones to begin memorizing or written out on a note card, something to hold on to. Paul was writing to the early church in Corinth, but this is very applicable to us today. It's as if he could be telling us these same things. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. Even if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. And here we go. For what I have received, I pass on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. People, Jesus is the resurrection and life. So if you're here today, and maybe two questions for you. Obviously, number one, do you believe? If you've placed your faith in Jesus, praise the Lord. But is there something else that we need to surrender over to him today and ask him to be moving that stone away and calling us out? Second, if you're here today and you haven't placed your faith in Jesus, that's a problem. And I'm saying that because I love you and because I know what God's word says. And I know that the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. And right now, you might say, well, that's not going so bad. But I'm telling you, there's a time when you're going to have to answer for that sin. You're going to be before an almighty God, and he's going to say, why should I let you in? And any answer you give him other than in the name of Jesus Christ, I am here, is worthless. So I ask you to consider that question. Do you believe? As the worship team comes forward, I want to encourage you today. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But if you've got dead ends in your life that you need to turn over to him, I encourage you to do it while we're singing this song. If you want to pray with someone, I'll be up here hanging around afterwards. But if nothing else, let's give glory to him. And I love this closer. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.